As we open this great conference, we note the absence of Elders David B. Haight and D.L.A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Each of them served long and very effectively. We mourn their passing. We greatly miss them. We extend our love to their dear ones. We are confident they are carrying on this great work on the other side of the veil. We recognize that in the natural course of events, there are recurring vacancies which make necessary filling these as they are created. After fasting and prayer, we have called Elder Dieter Frederick Uchtdorf and Elder David Allen Bednar to fill these vacancies in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. We present their names to you this morning. You may not know them, but you'll get acquainted with them pretty soon. Those of you who feel you can sustain them in this sacred calling will please signify by the uplifted hand. Any who may be opposed, their names will be included in the sustaining of all the authorities later in the conference. Now we ask these brethren to take their places on the stand with members of the 12. Take a good look. They will speak to us Sunday morning, and you'll get to know them better. Now, in opening the conference, I wish to comment briefly on the condition of the church. It continues to grow. It is touching the lives of more and more people every year. It is spreading far and wide over the earth. To accommodate this growth, we must of necessity continue to build houses of worship. We now have, at some stage, 451 meeting houses of various sizes under construction in many parts of the earth. This tremendous building program is phenomenal. I know of nothing to equal it. Our structures are beautiful. They add to the ambience of any community in which they stand. They're well maintained. We've had long experience in constructing houses of worship, and out of that vast experience, we're producing better buildings than have ever been previously constructed in the church. They combine beauty with great utility. If they look much the same, it is because that is intended. By following tried and tested patterns, we save millions of dollars while meeting the needs of our people. We continue to build temples. We recently broke ground for a new temple in Sacramento, California, the seventh in that state, where we have the second largest membership of any state in the United States. The temples in the Salt Lake City area are extremely busy and at times are overloaded. For this reason, we have determined to build a new temple in the Salt Lake Valley. The location of the site will be announced shortly. It may appear that we are unduly favoring this area, but temple attendance is such that we must accommodate those who wish to come. And if the present growth trends continue, we shall probably need yet another. We are also pleased to announce that we will construct another temple in Idaho, where we have the third largest membership in the United States. Plans are going forward for one in Rexburg. Now we're also planning to build another in the city of Twin Falls. This temple will serve thousands of our members, who live between Idaho Falls and Boise. Temples are now under construction in Aba, Nigeria, Helsinki, Finland, Newport Beach and Sacramento, California, and San Antonio, Texas. We're replacing the temple, which was destroyed by fire in Samoa. When those which have been thus announced are dedicated, we shall have 130 working temples. Others will be constructed as the church continues to grow. We are now working on a major undertaking in Salt Lake City. It is imperative that we preserve the environment around Temple Square. This makes necessary a very large construction project. Tithing funds will not be used for this construction. The income from church businesses, rents on the property, and other such sources make this possible. We must do extensive work on the Salt Lake Tabernacle to make it seismically safe. This marvelous structure has been used for 137 years this month. The time has come when we must do something to preserve it. It is one of the unique architectural masterpieces in the entire world and a building of immense historical interest. Its historical qualities will be carefully preserved, while its utility, comfort, and safety will be increased. We're grateful that we have this conference center where we can meet for such gatherings as this. I now ask myself, what would we do without it? I'm pleased to report that the Perpetual Education Fund continues to grow, as does the number of those who are the beneficiaries of this wonderful undertaking. We're strengthening our missionary program. We're striving to bring a greater measure of spirituality into the work of our vast body of missionaries. Our educational program continues to grow, extending its influence wherever the church is established. The Book of Mormon was recently included as one of the 20 most influential books ever published in America. We're now joining hands with a commercial publisher to enlarge the distribution of this sacred volume, this second witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I might continue. Suffice it to say that I believe the church is in better condition than it has been at any time in its entire history. I've been around now for nearly 95 years of that history, and I've seen much of it firsthand. I'm satisfied that there is greater faith, there is a broader measure of service, and there is a more general measure of integrity among our youth. There is greater vitality in all aspects of the work than we have ever seen before. Let us glory in this wonderful season of the work of the Lord. Let us not be proud or arrogant. Let us be humbly grateful. And let us, each one, resolve within himself or herself that we will add to the luster of this magnificent work of the Almighty, that it may shine across the earth as a beacon of strength and goodness for all the world to look upon, is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.